that no definitive answer has yet to be given as to how so many Chipotle restaurants were contaminated with so many different pathogens across such a broad geographical area in such a short period of time leads us to keep asking, what caused the food poisoning outbreak at Chipotle?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Hello out there. You are tuned into the 1048th edition of the Food Chain Radio program right here on the GCN Radio Network. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends way down there in Puerto Montt who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Jason Strubia on the boards. Hello, Jason.
Pleasure to be here.
Jason, you had a whole week to think about it. So what the heck do you think caused the outbreak at Chipotle?
Well, last week I used the word suspicion, and this week I'm going to take it a step further. I'm going to use the word sabotage.
Okay.
Straight up. Enough said.
Enough said. Well, you know, you're not the only one to come to that conclusion. I think of the people who responded to my press release on the show, I think pretty much 95% would go along with you. So that's a pretty good consensus out there. But today we're going to find out a little bit more about that. Folks, there's two ways to serve up fast food. One way is to prepare the food in a central kitchen, then heat and serve it in remote kitchens. Most fast food brands serve up this kind of food from headquarters fare. The other way is to bring the fresh ingredients to the kitchens of individual restaurants, then prepare, cook, and serve the food therein. Chipotle Mexican Grill employs this kind of strategy and calls it food with integrity. Well, this past October, Chipotle ran into a big bummer when it was hit by a food poisoning outbreak in which diners in a dozen states, coast to coast, were sickened by foods contaminated with E. coli, salmonella, and norovirus pathogens. Though the outbreak at Chipotle was thoroughly investigated by Chipotle and the Food and Drug Administration, no cause has yet to be disclosed as to how so many restaurants could be contaminated with so many different kinds of pathogens across such a broad geographical area in such a short period of time. That no answers have been forthcoming leads us to keep asking on behalf of all those out there who eat food in restaurants, what caused a food poisoning outbreak at Chipotle? Here once again to help us conduct some speculation, we have Michael Palmer, food safety consultant, Gap Solutions. Michael, you've had a week to think about this. What do you think caused that outbreak?
Well, hitting the nail on the head, it was norovirus. And I just, you know, hope that they had good quality soap in the bathroom, mm-hmm. you know, to wash your hands for 20 seconds and really kind of get a good scrub on.
So you think it's dirty employees,
well,
the hands of dirty employees, or dirty hands of employees.
Exactly. Simple hygiene.
But does that explain all of the salmonella and the E. coli? I know it explains the norovirus.
But case by case, the salmonella, they identified it was a tomato. So salmonella could have came from the environment, an animal intrusion, mm-hmm. or even a person. And then the E. coli, they haven't identified it. The CDC and the FDA announced in February that it was over. But the saga still continues.
The saga still continues. And, you know, just a week or so ago, they had to shut down another Chipotle in the Boston area because of the norovirus. So, folks, I thought today we would start. We have a real special treat for you today. Later on, we're going to conduct an autopsy of the common American burrito. And we're going to consider where the vulnerabilities are in that burrito with respect to food safety. So if you have, but you know, it could be a hamburger as well, it could be a sandwich, it could be just about anything, but today we're going to take a real close look at the common American burrito and look and see where the vulnerabilities of that burrito are for us who happen to eat food out of restaurants. know of anybody that doesn't? I don't. So let's start with the bugs. Chipotle gives us the outbreak, unfortunately for them, gives us a pretty good means by which we can look at the bugs that really are plaguing us. And there's, I think, four of them that are really are common, but many more, right?
Yes. Well, the CDC puts out a listing of 15 microorganisms that are the basic targets. But, you know, like any, there's some that come out more and more and more. And Salmonella, norovirus, they're much more familiar, along with the E. coli. And also the Salmonella, which comes into play very much when, you know, you're talking about physical interaction, intimacy with the food.
Intimacy with food. Well, there are four of them that really, the names really seem to pop up. And one of them, Listeria. There was no Listeria found in this outbreak at Chipotle. But there was a recent Listeria outbreak at Bluebell Ice Cream. And last week, Karen Robinson-Jacobs, a food writer for the Dallas Morning News, told us about how the Bluebell company used four plants to manufacture ice cream for the entire distribution of the southern United States. So it's kind of like a centralized model, that centralized kitchen we were talking about. And they had Listeria. Where did they find the Listeria?
Well, the Listeria is going to hide in the dark and dirty places in the coolers or the place you're storing your food, like the drains, the cracks, the crevices, the places you really don't want to get on your hands and knees and scrubbed. That's where they're going to be hiding.
And so when you're making ice cream, you're using lots of drains and,
yeah. Well, I think it comes into play when you don't have a thorough sanitation program. You don't go in there and clean and scrub those dark and dirty places. Or when you do, you just might spray water. Like when you're watering your lawn, you ever seen how the water sprinkles and splatters?
Nice.
You know, cause and effect. If you get a high pressure hose going in some of those areas, it can really kind of, you know.
And you know, we don't think about that when we think about the pathogens, the bacteria, the virus. They're very small.
Yeah, I guarantee you can't see them with your naked eye. That's one of those things where you're going to need a microscope and a lab to really kind of get the numbers and really be able to quantify
these
things.
So if you like take your garden hose and put a nozzle on it and spray something and the water hits something and it blasts water all over, all of those droplets could be carrying bugs.
Well, first we're in a drought, so you're not allowed to do that. But then, after you get the hose, and you can really kind of see how much it can extrapolate out. Go two and three and four, and you know, really kind of spread out when you get the hose and high pressure going into the cracks and drains, even in your restroom at your house, your bathroom, your kitchen. You could do practice there.
So Bluebell had that problem, and because it was a centralized processing facility, or four of them, they each had this Listeria problem, put it into their ice cream, shipped it to the entire southern United States, and boy, that caused a hell of a mess there. So that's a centralized model. Chipotle had no problems with Listeria. Right?
No, well, I mean, and they're fresh produce. Everything's fresh. There's a high turnover because, you know, it's not going to be able to sit in a cooler or a warehouse or a DC for very long. So it's going to be turned over much quicker and going to be, you know, handled, processed, and eaten rather quickly as well.
Boom. Well, what they did have problem was Salmonella. What is Salmonella then?
Well, Salmonella is, you know, I guarantee you everyone listening today has Salmonella on their hands. But 95% of Salmonella is probably okay for you. But the Salmonella, where it comes from in different areas of the body or different animals or species that mammals that live out in the environment, can cross-contaminate certain things. And when an animal walks through a field or walks past your grocery cart, or cross-contamination happens along the flow of the food to your dining plate, you can get caught up in a microorganism.
So, for example, a pigeon can be flying over a field full of lettuce and, you know, deposit its wanderings right down on a chunk of lettuce, and they can take that chunk of lettuce and put it in a big washer with a whole bunch of other heads of lettuce, and away we go, right?
I would have taken one other preventative step where I would have trained the employee that is harvesting that lettuce, when they see and identify that, to leave it there and only harvest the healthy quality food-safe product. And so that's kind of connection to other things we're going to talk about today. But training, it really lays down a real baseline for all of this.
So that salmonella at Chipotle, the salmonella contamination was traced to Florida.
Yeah.
Tomatoes from Florida.
There's different growing regions of America, and you know one of the possible identifications is there.
Right there. So, and you know it's amazing when you think about it how almost all the food we eat comes from long ways away. When we get back, we're going to talk about the beef and the Chipotle burritos coming from Australia. So Michael Olson's second law of the food chain, the farther we go from the source of our food, the less control we have over what's in our food. And that is the subject of today's show. When it gets right down to the gritty nitty, what happened to Chipotle? What caused the outbreak at Chipotle? You are invited to participate with your theories, 831-479-1080. When we come back, we're going to talk about the other two bugs that are really giving Chipotle a bad time and the rest of us, norovirus and E. coli, and you do stay tuned.
Get this. You can earn a 5-, 6-, or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city.
You can be old or young.
Rich or poor.
Married or single.
You can own land outright.
Or lease it year to year.
You can grow small fruits on prairie bench lands.
Houseplants in coastal valleys.
Flowers on steep wooded hillsides.
Vegetables in the city green belts.
And ornamentals in neighborhoods of fancy homes.
Get all the help you need to get growing at MetroFarm.com.
Get the complete guide to growing high-value special crops for the city at MetroFarm.com.
Get experts to look at your land and assess which crops to grow at MetroFarm.com.
Get advice on how to plan and develop your project at MetroFarm.com.
And get news about the business of farming for the city.
Yes, you can earn a 5-, 6-, or even a 7-figure income by farming high-value specialty crops on a small parcel of land in or near the city.
Grow for the money today at MetroFarm.com. That's MetroFarm.com.
Listeria, salmonella, norovirus, E. coli. Oh me, oh my. What are we going to do to protect ourselves from the bugs that plague our food chain? Well, the bugs certainly plague the food chain of Chipotle, and we're wondering what caused that outbreak at Chipotle. If you have any ideas, pick up your phone and join us. We're at 831-479-1080. Before I'm going to ask our food safety consultant, Michael, to tell us a little bit more about the bugs that do bug us, norovirus. Let's pick up the most famous one.
Yeah, norovirus, the virus, antibiotics won't kill it because it's a virus. It typically comes from the people who handle the food. You think about the flow of your food, the grocery store, the restaurant, the taqueria you go to. The flow of the food, how does it come into the restaurant? How does it sit in the back? How does it get handled when
many hands are touching it?
Yeah.
What have those hands been touching?
What color is the cutting board? What type of knife? Mm-hmm.
Where they have a big problem with norovirus is on ships, cruise ships especially, it seems like. And, you know, once that norovirus gets going, it just goes and goes and goes. Why is that?
Well, when I was on a ship, they had buffets, and, you know, I could just go eat and lay around and kind of be almost like glutton, you know? And when the cause and effect of, you know, you consume something and the effect of that, and where you need to have continuous sanitation, where people, you know, kind of get hunkered down in cruise ship and want to sit in the room and read their book and, you know, take care of things. Well, that's where the environment, where the environment does a lot to microorganisms. The wind, the sun, the environment.
Humidity.
Really, you know, takes effect on this. And some of the cruise ship where everyone's confined in a centralized location.
It's like a big Petri dish.
Yeah,
with an engine
and a bunch of ATP to produce, you know, to have them all grow.
So norovirus comes from bathrooms.
Yeah, I mean, if you really want to get down to the nuts and bolts, you know, that's where it's coming from, and it's the cause and effect. Everyone has to use the restroom, but it's what you do after you use the restroom. You wet your hands. You get a pump of soap. You wash your hands for 20 seconds, and you rinse your hands, you dry off your hands, and throw away the paper, and then you touch the door handle. So that's the flow of how you do things. And so do you use the paper towel to open the door handle, or is it a swing door, or is it an air dry? So all these, the flow of how you take care of business can really kind of protect and prevent these things.
Wow. Okay, and then the big mystery, and of course Chipotle had trouble with norovirus and appears to be still having trouble with norovirus.
Yeah, Chipotle has, like they've publicly announced, they have implemented a lot of food safety measures. Well, the first thing, their standard operating procedure for Chipotle is now to shut down the restaurant when they do have a case. Then they dispose of all the food, they clean, then they sanitize, but the media typically says just sanitize. You have to clean to remove the dirt and grime, and then you sanitize to kill whatever's left, the microorganisms that are left, and then have a follow-up inspection, and then to proceed to reopen.
Wow. Okay, the mystery bug for Chipotle has been E. coli. E. coli is another bug,
raw fruits and vegetables, or fecal matter, and there's a couple different forms that produce toxins. So there's E. coli where they were unsure. The CDC and the FDA did an investigation, and they announced in early February that it's done. You know, if there's going to be anyone out there, it's done. But
more E. coli. It's all cleaned up.
Well, the time has passed from when people would be infected or showing signs and reporting instances, because you need more than one person to report to have a foodborne outbreak. And from the E. coli perspective, they announced that it was complete. But they still keep on making the news for other microorganisms.
Yeah, okay, so didn't quite get that. So E. coli was a big mystery. The folks from Chipotle said our problem with E. coli was most likely caused from cattle from Australia. Food and Drug Administration said, no, cattle's not the problem. It's cross-contamination that's the problem.
Well, you can get E. coli from uncooked beef, or other specialty hamburger meats. And so if you or unpasteurized milk or juice, but Chipotle, the meat, they have a protein source there when you go through the assembly line at Chipotle, where they have they don't get that temps up to 140, 160, where you get it, you stick a thermometer there and find that cold point in the pan, and is it 160? Did I kill all the microorganisms there? And then the cross contamination was that same employee who was prepping that food put back on the assembly line to do what? To handle the lettuce at the very, very end. You don't want to pick on anyone, but you have to think about the flow of your employees and the assembly line that goes along with it.
So it's kind of like, it's kind of like a very complicated football game.
Yeah.
where you have all of these players running in different directions, and nobody knows who's got the ball.
You gotta have a lot of X's and O's and a food safety quarterback.
Yeah.
And to kind of manage these type of things.
Well, why didn't they figure it out?
Hmm.
They could figure out norovirus. In a recent norovirus contamination in Boston, they did stool samples, and then they cultured the bacteria, and lo and behold, it's the norovirus, and they all have the same norovirus. But what happened to the E. coli? Why could they not track E. coli? And this is the core of the mystery of Chipotle, is that how did this one bug contaminate so many different locations across the entire United States in such a short period of time? It had to come from one place, but they weren't able to track that one place. Or if it didn't come from one place, then the big suspicion comes in, how did it get in all of these places?
Well, Chipotle has their supply chain. Yes, they have their supply chain. But even at best measures, the CDC only gets it right 50% of the time. So the glass is half full or it's half empty. But it's the nature of the beast of Chipotle. It's fresh. It's quick. You want fresh produce. You don't want wilted lettuce. You want a ripe avocado.
Yeah, we go back to that centralized kitchen in which Bluebell made all of its ice cream. Okay, and then distributed Listeria contaminated ice cream around the country. That was easy to track, right? But in a decentralized situation like Chipotle that has 1,600 kitchens around the country, how in the heck did that E. coli come into so many of these different locations at the same time?
Well, I mean, the stars must. It's one of. It's honestly one of those things where the stars must have aligned. Okay. Where the commodity, and that's it's commodity specific. Wherever the commodity came from, it went into the supply chain, got distributed into the supply chain, and it went to one of or several of those 1,600 restaurants. And when those things sprinkle out into the food chain. And the communication, CDC and the FDA, where we are able now, via all these other technology that we have, the social media and the CDC and the FDA, we're able to link all these events up to really kind of be able to say, look, this many states, this many restaurants have come up.
And all of that stuff is tracked now.
Very much so.
But they could not track this.
But it's the nature of that, the commodity specific. It's a quick turnover. It's less than a calendar. Less than one calendar month, that food that came in is gone, ate, went in your stomach, and came out the other side.
Okay.
And so that's the nature of the fresh produce, is the quick turnover.
Okay, folks, wow, there we are. So those are the bugs. Still a mystery.
Still very much so.
Nobody knows what happened.
FDA said they didn't know. They said it was done.
So there's only three different possibilities, right? There's the possibility of careless employees.
Yeah, personal work habits and best practices and hygiene.
Okay. There's the possibility of a contaminated produce and food.
Maybe.
And there's the possibility of industrial sabotage.
That's what the public thinks. And I'm still trying to figure that one out. The sabotage, you know, personal sabotage of Americans on Americans.
Can't happen here.
No, can't happen here.
Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson. Today we're talking about what on earth happened to Chipotle, and you are invited to participate. Phone numbers today, 831-479-1080. And we will pick you up when we come back with Michael Palmer, food safety consultant, Gap Solutions. He teaches businesses how to tend their food safety on behalf of people like you and I who eat out. Do stay tuned. Well, hey, we're back, and we're talking about Chipotle again for the second week in a row, because the last time we talked about Chipotle, we didn't get to the most important thing that we wanted to do, which was dissect a common American burrito. And look at the vulnerabilities that are presented in that, and in doing so, realize how fortunate we are to go through so much of this food without getting sick. It's kind of truly a miracle. With us today, we have Michael Palmer, food safety consultant, Gap Solutions, and you as well. Before we go to the phone, 831-479-1080, bringing up this notion of sabotage. Why on earth would Americans sabotage each other on food? And, you know, we hearken back to the days of Watergate hearings and remember the wisdom of Deep Throat, who told Woodward and Bernstein, follow the money. And if you follow the money, one thing you see is that Chipotle stock has gone from $750 to $400 or something like that. Oh my goodness, there's a tremendous loss of money there. But there are ways people can make money with that loss. And you could sell, if you know what's going to happen, you could sell the stock short, make a lot of money. Or what if you're selling another line of food and you're all of a sudden going to make much more money, and when Chipotle, people quit going to Chipotle. So those are the fuels, different kinds of fuels that, provide fire for the speculation as to whether this is an incident of sabotage. And there is a lot of speculation in that regard. Now, nobody wants to really believe it, but there are a lot of people who, you know, kind of, if you ask them when they're alone, what do you think? They point their finger in that direction. So we're going to go quickly to the phones and start off today, and we're going to talk with Ramona. Ramona, welcome to the Food Chain. Welcome aboard.
Yes, hello. I'm not talking about sabotage here.
No problem.
But over the years, I've figured out, talking to people in the restaurants and all, they cook a lot of the food ahead, particularly meat, and they'll partially cook it maybe and finish it off the next day. And I've gotten sick in places at various times. Usually not ever in anyone's house, but sometimes at a buffet where they did a lot of food ahead of time, because they don't keep it either really hot or really cold. And I know our daughter got really sick with some meat one time at a fast food place. I think it was Taco Bell, actually. And she couldn't eat meat for about 7 years.
What? 7 years?
Yeah, it just sort of set her system up. It caused a lot of kind of long-term various problems from it.
Well, Ramona, you mentioned something that, you know, Michael was talking about a little bit earlier with respect to buffets and cruise ships. Same situation.
I didn't hear the beginning.
Oh, okay. So Ramona's had some trouble with the food in a buffet. A lot of vulnerability in a buffet.
Yeah, there's
not just buffets. Even in really good restaurants, they make the food, they partially cook it because they only have so much time, you know. So yeah. I think they have to be more careful about the temperatures of keeping things really hot and really cold. And it isn't just meat. I mean, it can be rice, a lot of things. At home, we have to pay attention to that, too, and I'm always very careful.
Yeah, it's very important.
Thank you, Ramona.
Thank you, Ramona. Yeah. It's very important on the holding temperatures that you're going to hold your commodity specific. Is it meat? Is it lettuce? Is it rice? You need to hold at these certain holding temperatures and also find where the coldest point in it and stick the thermometer and just verify you're doing it correctly. Just don't, oh, this is the way my grandma did it or whoever. We kind of do a little bit of a scientific check-in, get the thermometer and insert it.
And they have good thermometers for that.
Good thermometer, okay. Make sure they're calibrated, of course.
Good enough. So now we're going to get to the thing that I wanted to get to last week, but we were having so much fun talking about speculation as to what happened to Chipotle, but now I'd like to take apart the common American burrito, which may or may not have come from Chipotle. It could have come from any of the 17 trillion Mexican taquerias in the United States, and they're pretty much all the same. So let's start off, and here we have a couple of them on the counter here at the broadcast studio. But before we even get to the burrito, there's something else where it starts, and that's there's a bag there. It came in a bag,
and you probably got a receipt with that bag.
Oh, there's a receipt in there.
And there's a receipt, and then did you pay with cash?
No, a card.
A card that you've – when was the last time you sanitized your credit card? No, but it's just the compound effect of the cash. The card, your wallet, the change. Did you have to go back up to the register to get an extra, you know, bag of chips and use change, which, you know, you're handling the money much more.
No, but I was handling any money, but the cashier was handling money and then handling my card.
Ooh. Well, depending on the restaurant location, they try to separate people so that they don't cross contaminate, because that's one of the bigger factors. But that's where you just need to have segregation in your job tasks and really kind of have that training in place for that employee not to double back and grab something.
The people who are making the burrito had plastic gloves on, but the cashier did not.
Yeah, that's fine, because at the same time, if she was to, I mean, the potential employee was to be able to put back on the line, they would have followed the procedure and washed their hands and put on gloves and gone to a different spot in the line or the restaurant. But it really had to kind of look at the flow of how you enter the restaurant. Did it come in a bag? Did it come on a plate? Did it come in a basket with a tissue? You know, there's a lot of variables, and each time it's a little bit different per taqueria. Per burrito, 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 burrito.
Mm-hmm. So we're watching these things as a consumer. We're not just walking in and say, hey, give me a burrito, I'm hungry, and then start, you know, checking out the cell phone. We're looking at
that. Yeah, I mean, do your own investigation. Keep your eyes open when you do order. And if you see something that might get you sick, you know, it's better safe than sorry. And chirp up and maybe say something, grab the attention of the employee.
I prefer not to buy this. Yeah, okay. So let's go to the burrito itself. We have here a foil-wrapped burrito. Foil?
Foil. Well, it would go into your approved suppliers, and I'm assuming that a lot of our taquerias probably go to food service suppliers and buy you know, food grade aluminum foil, and use it
in bulk by the mile.
Well, yeah, depending on how many breeders are you, small stand, or are you big stand, and everyone would have their own supplier approval, where you know that I've gotten this good from this person in the past, so I will continue to get it great from them in the future. And that's where you really have to go down into your vendors. You have to really understand, who am I getting it from? And is it close to home? Is it coming on a ship? Did it sit in a container? What is the condition of the aluminum foil roll look like? What is the condition of the box that it came in?
That means that the people that own and operate the restaurant have to be watching their upstream, just like those of us who are buying the burrito, we're watching how it's done right there. Those people have to keep an eye on all of their vendors, because if they don't, the vendor starts slipping and falling apart, and everybody becomes vulnerable all the way down the food chain. Folks, Michael Olson here. This is The Food Chain. Today we're talking about what happened to Chipotle, and right now we're dissecting a common American burrito and looking at the vulnerabilities therein. You're invited to participate. Pick up your phone, 831-479-1080, 479-1080 on 831, and join us with your comments. Welcome back. Food Chain Radio Program. We're taking apart the common American burrito and looking for the vulnerabilities therein. In order for all of us to think a little bit about the food that we eat, and so when we begin to go into a place to eat, as we all do, we can look and start thinking and observing and paying attention. And in doing so, those people who are serving us, to know that we're watching. And that is food safety number one. Hey, but here we are. We have a burrito in a foil. And right inside that foil, there is a tortilla.
A tortilla. But how did that tortilla get into the aluminum foil? It went through a flash steamer. Just be typical, taquerias. They'll pulse a couple bursts of steam on it. It's kind of a critical limit where it kind of shocks it.
Isn't it to make the taco soft?
It makes it soft, but it actually has an additional food safety step where those BTUs in the steam can really nuke the microorganisms if they're present. So it's a subtle hurdle or kill step. Not really a kill step, but just a critical limit that you could put into the flow of your food safety program. So you got the tortilla. But Michael, did you want a burrito bowl or did you want a burrito?
Oh, good question. Well, the wife goes for the bowls.
Okay. So you're cutting out 300 calories in the tortilla, but then you're missing that step of the steam. So think about it, when if you get sick or she gets sick, if you're at your next taqueria, well, you have to really break down what food matrix did you consume and what food matrix did she consume? Tortilla or tortilla-less?
There it is. Well, okay. Inside the burrito we have, rice.
Well, on your burrito, you have the choice of what type of rice. Do you want brown rice or do you want cilantro and lime rice?
Cilantro?
Yeah.
Cilantro?
Well, but it had the lime juice, so the acidity of the lime could be neutralizing if you have any concerns. So you got to put the whole puzzle together. You got the pulse of the steam. You got the tortilla flipped on the aluminum foil, and then your first choice is rice. Brown rice? Or do you want the cilantro and lime rice?
Cilantro.
Okay. We'll go with the cilantro and lime rice. And then then the very next step.
Beans.
Michael, beans. What kind of beans? Do you want those pinto beans or do you want those black beans?
Black ones.
I mean, actually, that's my personal favorite as well. I'm going to big one. So,
any vulnerability in beans?
What ladle did she use to scoop those beans? Was it the same one from the rice, or was there a secondary utensil there?
So we're talking about cross contamination.
All these things add up. You got the whole flow. You got to think about each step by step by step. Is there cross contamination from the utensils used? But then after that, you got to choose one of six meats. And then you get into a heat step. Was it cooked up to 160?
Now, this seems to be a bone of contention with respect to Chipotle and the FDA. Chipotle said they had trouble with, they believe the E. coli came from beef from Australia. And you know the fact that they're shipping beef all the way from Australia to Chipotle's around the United States, that's just in itself mind-boggling.
That's a logistical project in its own.
That just boggles my mind that they could ship beef from Australia all the way to Chipotle's all over the United States. But there it is. But the FDA says, no, it's not the beef. It was the cross-contamination.
Yeah. What, did that same utensil that they used for the rice, then your beans, get dipped into what type of meat do you want on your burrito again?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the beef from Australia? And so then that's where each...
So only one of these many things that we find in the burrito could be contaminated, and then having an employee who's not really thinking or just thinking about something else, or, you know, thinking about what's waiting for him or her on the cell phone, just doesn't pay attention and takes a scoop of one thing and puts it to another thing, and away it goes.
Yeah, that's where you're, as a consumer, you need to be accountable and hold the employees, present. Mm-hmm. But then also the employees are like, hey, Michael, you on the assembly line, hey, you did this, and then maybe take the corrective actions and maybe remove that ladle or, change your gloves or whatever step is needed. And it's going to be a scenario based. It's going to be per scenario. Did you cross-contaminate a utensil? Did you not wash your hands? Or did your hand kind of swipe underneath your nose? Or
any place along the line.
A lot of variables, but we can still control them. It's just, training and, following these flows.
So after the meat, there was hot sauce.
Yeah, but, do you want the fresh tomato? Do you want the roasted chili chicken? Do you want the green chili? Or do you want the red hot chili?
Red hot chili.
So I look at it that, you just get a little bit more bang for your buck. So maybe, I don't know the science behind it, but at the same time, if maybe the hot sauce had a little bit more of a bang where it can knock out those microorganisms if they're present, but you throw on that hot sauce. And then what? Well, do you want any sour cream?
Yes.
And you probably want guacamole, right?
Of course.
Of course. And then the icing on the cake, that's my favorite, is the sprinkle of lettuce right through the middle of the burrito. So it has a little bit of a crunch to it.
Yeah.
You as well?
Yes.
Alrighty. And then it gets to the very, very end of the finish line, coming around the end. And then it gets kind of squeezed together, patted down, and rolled up into harmony for you to, to get past in a piece of tinfoil. It's one smooth little process there. Where at the finish line, bang, 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 sour cream, guacamole. Your lettuce rolled up all in one and slid to you across the counter. Gloves are gloveless, and then you check out.
At any place.
And it's going to be the same. That's going to be the same every place because they got 1,600 locations.
Okay. And where did the bug get in? All of that. Folks, this is the Food Chain. Michael Olson, Michael Campbell. No. Michael Palmer.
Michael Palmer sounds a lot better.
Yes. And you, 831-479-1080, right back. Well, what can we do to keep ourselves safe when we go out to eat? We'll all go out to eat. It's what we do. We don't cook. We don't grow our own food. We all rely on others for our food. And the farther we go away from the source of our food, the less control we have over what's in that food. And so we must rely on others all the way up and down the food chain. My goodness, Chipotle is serving burritos with beef grown in Australia. You think about how far away Australia is and all of the everything that it must go through to get to you. And all of the chances there are in that food chain. But at least in Australia, they have clean hands. I'm not so certain about other parts in the world and if you think about it, the farther away you go from those places, the less really they care about you. If you're relying on food grown by somebody 8,000 miles away and you know what the Chinese word for foreigner is?
I know what it is in Thai, Falong.
It's foreign devil.
Ooh, okay.
That's how they see you.
Yeah.
And so if you're relying on people who think of you in that terms, you better have some kind of protocols going. Let's go to the phone and see what we've got going here. Let's start with Georgia. Georgia, welcome to the Food Chain Radio Program.
Thank you so much. I have a question for your food safety expert. I really like a lot of different things in my burrito. So if I had to cut one out, I would want to choose the one that has the most likelihood of having contaminations. So would that be one of the fresher ingredients that's not cooked, like the lettuce or the tomato, or would it be one of the other ingredients?
I almost have to say it's a case-by-case basis, because what does it smell like? You have to take in all the sensory evaluation aspects. What's the aroma? What's the smell? What does it look like?
But if you don't know, you can't smell that.
But you got to do your best. You got to do your best. But the same thing. It all ends up in the same place. It all ends up in the burrito. But if you had the more perishable things, just because the shelf life is shorter. But at the same time, lettuce can be fresh if it arrived yesterday. But so it's a case by case basis. The more perishable things, but it really do just ensure that if they have the right proper holding temperatures, warm and cold, and you just
but if
keep
you don't
your eyes
know
open.
If you're just ordering a burrito, you don't know. And in the case of Chipotle, I think it was the Florida tomatoes, fresh cut tomatoes, that caused a problem with salmonella, mm-hmm. not necessarily E. coli or norovirus, yeah. but that was one of the problems. So, I don't know if we answered your question or made it more confusing, but keep your eyes open, Georgia.
Yeah, and the eyes open, perishable.
Eyes open and go from there. Next, let's go to Lance. Lance, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thank you. Yeah, my question is about safety of buffets.
Buffets, yes.
You go to a buffet, you got a whole line of people. Everybody touching individual spoon handles.
Cruise ship heaven, right?
Yeah, they have holding temperatures. It's a tough. They got a lot of different mediums out there. So it's a really case by case. Be smart. If it looks cold, maybe don't. Selective. Be selective when you choose.
Hey, Michael Palmer. Thank you very much, Lance. Out of time. Michael, how do we get in touch with you?
My name is Michael Palmer, Food Safety Gap Solutions.
GAP, Gap Solutions.
Gap Solutions, Good Agricultural Practices. Visit me at foodsafetygapsolutions.com or mjpalmer@gmail.com.
So, what should we do? Now, what did cause the outbreak at Chipotle, Michael?
Hand washing. I want to see just better hand washing. Train.
All right. Thank you very much, folks. Remember, Michael's the second law of the food chain. The farther we go from the source of our food, the less control we have over within our food.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.